Welcome to the Growth Mindset Podcast. Success isn't a goal, it's a journey. I interview the most incredible humans to keep your mind optimized for growth. Welcome to the second episode with Nazra, who is a really inspirational 19-year-old on a mission to change the world. And she's had a really interesting life story up to now. And if you want to hear the first part of that, then you can hear my first episode with her last week on the show. And this week is a continuation of that, where we go into exploring consciousness and the purpose of yourself in the world and our favorite books and lots of really big topics, which are focused on growth and being the best person you can be. And it's a really good episode, and I'm sure you're going to enjoy it. Again, if you didn't hear the first part, you should probably start there, because it would just make more sense if you do that rather than listening to this one. But it's still a good episode as it is. My current business, I explained, it's called it's like an app for reading books and listening to podcasts together, like at the same time, or like kind of asynchronously, so you can still finish the same chapter like on the same day and still like discuss like chapter by chapter with each other, and like just learn as much as possible by being social around stuff, because you just learn so much more when you like get other people's opinions at the same time. And it's not quite going to save the world from climate crisis, but I think it's good for like social stuff and just like a better way to be social online. Because if you think about relationships, it's all about sharing experiences and doing stuff together. And so like the online gaming world is pretty awesome, and like you can like chat and like you can like go on adventures together, but like the rest of the social world's super shit. You know, you can take selfies and talk about how great you are, and like that, like I don't feel any closer to my friends by putting a post about something hilarious that I've done. Like, it's not really social. So yeah, I'm trying to change the world of social technology a little bit first, and figure that if I can do that well, then probably I'll have the money to do all the other things that I want to do.
Well, I'll check it out.
Yeah. I'd like to, you're certainly like my kind of target user of on the education side. Cause yeah, I'd like to kind of see how I can like solve your problems and get like knowledge better. Anyway, side tangent. If there was no such thing as a climate crisis, what do you think you'd be working on?
Probably still something sustainability wise, like transportation. But if like just outside of that realm, I'd find something. Like I'm very problem oriented when it comes to building stuff and solving problems. And I can get passionate about anything. Like I've learned that, especially like over the past month, I've been looking into the retrofitting industry. I mentioned it a bit earlier for this consulting project. And I was like, going in, I was like, this is the most boring thing ever. Like, I am going to learn everything about pipes. I'm going to learn everything about boilers. I'm going to learn everything about heating systems and water. And I was like, oh, this is literally the least like sexiest industry place ever. And like, I went into it and I was like, I'm in love. Like, I feel like I can get excited about learning almost anything. So it would be, it would just be like the next biggest thing.
Nice. Yeah, I think there's certainly like a lot of opportunities in like unsexy spaces for business, and in terms of like looking for things that where you can solve real problems and probably make money, like the less sexy areas maybe more ripe for innovation. But like, it's one of those confusing things about like, I think when you're a bit young, it's a bit harder to know. I mean, you have been doing lots of learning, but when you have had like industry experience and different things, you can just find stuff that you just would never have a clue of.
Yes.
So it can be a bit hard. Yeah.
I think also education is another one. I think our education systems, the way that I think about problems, and this actually happened actually after the first acid trip, was kind of like this concept of consciousness and connectivity and people connected to others, which, you know, you mentioned a bit of in terms of when you were talking about your app, is I don't think we live in a world where we've really optimized for that, or that we're even moving to truly be more connected to each other. Like, I think even the world that we're currently building isn't really headed in that direction entirely. And so one of the things that I was thinking about when I'm like, I want to build the future, I actually do have an idea of what that looks like and the kind of way that I personally would want to go about it and do it. And the number one kind of priority or part of that is being, and this is very abstract, so it's as I describe from number one, number two, number three, as I describe them, they are listed in like, I think the most important, but also the longest away and the most abstract. And the first one is like being more consciously aware beings. And we can kind of even describe that, like if we want to take the Buddhist version of that, of people being aware of their egos and their no minds, which by ego, I don't mean the kind of adjective ego that we use to perhaps describe like arrogance or quote unquote like negative parts of ego, but ego as in literally like a sense of self. And then to have awareness of that and have an awareness of actually what it means to be without the sense of self and who you are without that, and this kind of connectedness and a sense of just humanity and all of those things is a deeper understanding of consciousness and a kind of connectedness to it, to live in a society where that is perhaps more explored and more common. And I think that's a very far future away, and like 80 plus years away, perhaps. But it's something that even if I might not get to experience in my lifetime, is I want to still like hold, as this is kind of the world that I am trying to aim for, that I would want to live in, that I think would be one to really enjoy living in. So that's one. And I was thinking of, okay, like, how do we get to this place? Like, all right, maybe I won't get to live in it, but then how do I get to this place? And one was, we live in a world full of constructs, and those constructs I don't think are all optimal. And we can describe those constructs as systems that are, for example, transportation and education and even policies and government and just all the institutions, I guess, and systems and services that we use in the world, healthcare. And I was thinking about, you know, in that world, I don't think our systems and our constructs are the most optimal to getting to that world. And we can talk about optimal in terms of sustainability, in terms of eco-friendly, and we can talk about optimal in terms of just even the goals that they're trying to achieve. Like, school isn't to learn, it's to get you a job, which I'm not always saying is a bad thing, but they're just different incentive structures for what we presume are the goals that exist for our current institutions. And there's a lot of innovation that can be done in healthcare and can be made a lot better in accessibility of healthcare, even just living in a world where poverty isn't really a thing. So there's a lot of areas. And I was like, all right, cool. So let's solve all of them. And I was thinking about, how do I do that? Well, one, I was like, single-handedly alone cannot. And even if I took one of those problems and built a team around it and had a startup, like, I still could not do that. And then came the second goal was, all right, let's create a community. People who have an understanding of a certain future that we want to work towards or problems that we want to solve. And let's build a community around people who do want to participate in that. And so one of my goals actually is kind of after the next 5 years. So I imagine, like, probably just as I am around 30, is to work and through the next few years. And I think TK has a great platform for this, is find the people who are really actually passionate about building the world and participating in our future, who want to do really interesting things, and build a community around it. And perhaps that looks like something like Tony Hsieh's like Taylor Park community, where it is in person and it's, you know, in a city and everyone kind of lives together and has their own spaces, but is working on problems together and having many discussions and trying to be as intentional as they can to kind of build a certain world and or a certain city or a certain country in a certain way. And I want it to be with other entrepreneurs, and I want it to be with artists. I want to be with people who are thinking about the future of film and the future of music and the future of art and the future of human, like, our artistic experiences and whatnot. And that's kind of goal number two, is, all right, I can't do it alone, so let's find people who want to do that. And the reason I feel like that is something that's actually attainable is because of the friends that I've made over the past few years, the people that I know who do seem to, although young, care about those things. One of our students in TKS, for example, his name's Ben Nashman. He's really cool. He's, I think, just turned 20, but he's creating a non-invasive blood glucose testing ring, and that he's created a prototype. It works. He's actually just announced that he publicly just announced his first round of funding, which Naval participated in, and a whole bunch of other awesome people. So, like, they exist, and I have access to people like that. And, you know, even through this podcast and you, like, as in just you as a person who's building things. So the founder community exists and the creative community exists through my friend Mateo or Jaden and people that I've met in LA who are very serious about the future that they want to build with music and art and film and exploring that. So yeah, that was goal number two. And then not goal, but kind of a sense of what I would want to work on. Second part of that. And then the third was, all right, well, if I want to build that community, and I really do think this is a future that I can work on, then I got to start something on my own too. So let's take one of these problems. Let's try it out for myself. Let's get myself to a place where even talking about that community is something that I can put in place or try out and see. And I could be wrong about all of these things and how to do them right now, but I think moving in that direction is going to give me a lot more information to see whether it's something that can be done and how it should be done.
Wow. Cool set of problems and some huge ambition. I like it. Definitely going to be very interested to see what you do in the next 10 years and hope you can be involved in some way. That's awesome. Glad I asked. Is there anything I haven't asked that you're like, that would be a really cool discussion because I have lots of opinions?
I mean, over the past few months, I've been thinking a lot about psychedelics and done some research into them. It hasn't been my main focus, more so consciousness and Buddhism have and our thoughts on those, but there's not necessarily a particular thing within them that I think is interesting. I just think people should hear about those concepts and know about them. So I'm thinking about that from a listener standpoint.
I really like both sides of it. I think they both actually have some very similar impacts on like your ability to sort of step out of the box and actually sort of see the world for it is, or like get a greater sense of reality despite like the ironic like loss of reality from drugs. But I mean, I've also been very into like Buddhism side of things. I've done the whole like Vipassana 10 days sort of thing, which if you haven't done, book it. Like it's going to be the best thing on your life. There will be the time before you did a Vipassana, and then there'll be the time afterwards, and I'll not regret it in any way. But the commitment, like 10 days of just doing nothing.
How would you describe pre and post, Sam?
So pre, I was a bit more stressed out by concerning things in the world, but also by things that maybe were less concerning, but I thought were. And I guess you've reached a point where you kind of live life driving from like just the seat of your brain, like in the moment, like what's going on, just taking things on and going, shit, you're just reacting to stuff. And it gives you like that layer of like, actually, Sam can be this guy like far away who thinks about what this guy on earth and like what he should be doing. And like some shit happens to Sam. The guy up there doesn't really get pissed off. He's like, well, Sam probably is going to have a better time if he just goes and does the thing rather than sitting around causing himself more faff by getting stressed and not dealing with the problem or whatever. And you just get a bit more of like an in-between sort of barrier between like what the thing that's happened and like how you should actually react to it. And you can just be like a lot more mindful about how and who you are, and it ends up making you like a much nicer person because of you don't get stressed out by things that don't need to be stressed, and like it's more calmer, chilled person, and you're just able to see greater wisdom in how to act yourself and other people around you and things. And I'm trying to think, yeah, it's hard to really unpack like 10 days of like mind exploration of like what the fuck you're doing wrong with your life. And I mean, by the end, I kind of wanted to like call all of my friends and apologize for everything I've ever done with my life and be like, wow, I was such a dick, oh my god, compared to like afterwards. It's super awesome as an experience, and also ability for dealing with pain and suffering and such. Like lots of shit just goes wrong in your life and you just know that things end and things start and like it'll go, and you don't need to like panic at all when there is pain, or like necessarily run away from it, and maybe like the pain will stop much faster if you just kind of sit with it for like a minute and like deal with it rather than being like constantly running away from your problems. So you definitely just get much better at like dealing with life in that sense, and like more patience for things that come to you or like other people's problems. And yeah, your maturity level just sort of goes up a whole level, essentially, and awareness.
And thinking about how some of the things that meditation has taught me over the past few months is just that life flows. We've heard that word before, like it's a common word, but life flows. And it's kind of our choice and our awareness that helps us decide, like, do we want to continue flowing with it, or are we going to resist? And that includes the suffering, and that includes the pain and obstacles and things that might be difficult. Like when you do have that almost like third person perspective of yourself experiencing life, and you realize that all your moments kind of amalgamate to you flowing. Like if you think about your past and you think about yourself in the present, is that is what you are doing and that is how you are. And so the resistance is actually not even a resistance to the flow, it's just a resistance in your mind. And so do I really entertain and allow myself to resist the suffering and resist all of these things so much, when really almost I kind of don't even have a choice? Like it's one of the things that allowed me to see predeterminism in a new way, is that kind of flow of life. And if there's a lot less in our control than we think, and the resistance is kind of like an act of trying to control, but really you can't. And the more you allow yourself, it's just allows you to learn and grow so much more from that experience, and makes it manageable too. Definitely. Like we resist pain because we are afraid of pain and we are afraid of suffering. But then when you allow yourself to even just sit with it, it becomes a lot more manageable. Kind of like a needle. The needle always hurts more before it's injected in you.
Yeah, yeah, some good examples of things like stuff that kind of is painful and annoys you, actually just maybe isn't even painful. It's just depending on like your concept of it. But you have to sit for like an hour completely still, which doesn't sound difficult, but no one has ever done it until they've tried doing it. And they're like, after 10 minutes, like, shit, I have to move my leg. And on some sessions you do like 2 hours without like trying to move a single muscle. And like genuinely, I thought like my leg was going to like fall off and just not work or something. And it was like taking like crazy amount of drugs sometimes. It was just like my entire body was like exploding and things. And that was just weird as us stuff. And you're just there like, just don't move, just breathe. Like your body's going like mad shit going on. And then like your nerves do crazy stuff. But it definitely gives you that capacity and just much greater awareness of like all the feelings that are in your body. Because if you start to notice you notice like your body's reaction to things that are annoying you. And so like when someone says something that's a bit annoying, you notice like inside that like your body's doing something, you notice this reaction, like I don't have to react to what my body's saying or like telling me. I can feel this and it's fine. It can be there. And like, actually, does it need to be there? It'll go if I don't think about it or like if I do something else. And like gives you that like capacity to not like just follow like the sort of the straight normal train of thinking that your mind will just like go without control. So yeah, you'll love it.
Would you ever do, I think it'd be cool for you as you're talking about this, the Wim Hof, yes, not just the method at home, but like try to, I don't know if you've seen like Yes Theory, go actually be with Wim Hof and climb a mountain. I think that'd be like, cool to make happen if you could.
I have got like the thing where you're like, extremities just sort of go cold super fast compared to normal humans and full of, yeah. But I kind of want to try it anyway, and I'm super keen on doing like the ice bath and sort of, you can do those sessions where you learn it with him and stuff. And I have been just trying to do more of that anyway, but kind of failing. I still can't do cold showers, but I was, yeah, in Cornwall with my team. One of the companies we're kind of like working with a bit, it's called Wild Swim in Cornwall. So even though it's December, we're like going in the sea, and that was like super cold, but like really like exhilarating and like beneficial for health and stuff. So I do want to push that boundary a bit, and like I'm going to the Arctic next year, and I was supposed to be going this year, so I got like kind of fat for it just to like not die from cold, and it's been a nightmare to lose weight again. But yeah, excited for doing that next year, and hopefully we'll have had time to do some of the Wim Hof stuff to actually not get frozen and stuff. My mum's done Reiki and it's insane. Like I'm not sure about like the healing powers or any of that stuff, but she's definitely like, she can put her hands on me and then just suddenly like, it's just, they just turn into like ovens. Like, and you're like, what the hell are you doing, mum? It's just like this crazy heat comes out of her that's like more than like normal body temperature. And I don't get it. It just makes no sense, but it definitely is like a thing. So there's cool stuff you can do with your brain. Cool. Yeah, it's super weird. I still don't understand the physics of how my mum's hands can be that hot. It literally does not make sense. And I'm really good at physics, but strange. Anyway, this is a fun discussion. Also on the subject of like flow and stuff, like they do talk about like the lack of permanence of anything. You have to think about yourself as like literally every single moment, you're like a different person, and like every person that you know is sort of different. And it makes you a lot less judgmental, yes, when you're like, actually, mm-hmm, sure, they did this thing wrong, but they can change. Like they're not going to always be like this or whatever. And you can kind of just accept things as they are and not worry about the fact that they will always be like that and stuff. And it's quite cool. Yeah. And I'm going to send you a book list after this, because I don't think I had time to go through all of them, but some really, really appropriate things for what you're thinking about will be great. Or maybe I should say them just in case people want it. So I was going to say Siddhartha is a really epic book on, it's basically, it's kind of the tale of the Buddha and like how his comes from like being a kid to end, but like it follows his life and sort of his journey into introspection and meditation, and it's just really beautiful, like the flows of life and the things that he kind of can transcend and like doesn't transcend to like try and follow the ways of the world and stuff. And it's just like really beautiful, and like he just like gets to the end of sort of dying and things that mattered and stuff. I just try and read it like every Christmas, and it just makes me think about like what I'm actually doing that really matters and not, and it's super awesome. And just definitely with that one. And then Why Buddhism is True, which just sounds shit as a book title. I wish it was a different name, but it's about the evolutionary neuroscience behind Buddhism and like why practicing it is just so good. And it like just makes you awareness of your consciousness and like why some things annoy you that shouldn't annoy you. And it's just, it was like the best sort of understanding of the benefits of like Vipassana and stuff that I've read since doing it. And it's by like a scientist who like was prone to getting kind of angry and is super skeptic, and he's really funny whilst he's writing and talks about like meditation is like, it's basically just sitting and failing to try and concentrate the entire time and just being shit at it. And you're like, oh yeah, that's what happens the entire time I meditate too and stuff. And it's good. Yeah,
it's so cool that we can also map that out too, like, yeah, you, I mean, not entirely yet, like we don't completely understand every aspect of it, but I don't know if you know what the default, I'm sure you know what the default mode network is in your brain, just an area in your brain that's kind of responsible and also kind of mappable as to like, you can see the activity under an MRI or fMRI machine. And it's the area of your brain that's kind of responsible for or indicative of when you are thinking of yourself, for example, when you are thinking of things that really relate to like self-reflection, for example. So if like someone's like studies that have people like self-reflecting, like their default mode network like fires up. And one thing that we found, and I think both John Hopkins and perhaps Harvard have done research into this, is when we look at the brains of people who are meditating and also people who are on psilocybin, and in both cases, there's like a very significant and notable reduction in the default mode network. And especially if people are saying that they've been experiencing ego death during a trip, or someone who's meditated a lot and very frequently and is an often meditator, like the moment they start meditating or they get into a good meditative state, their activity in the DMN like decreases. So it's really cool that we can just like start to really understand and see those things like scientifically be mapped out, just because you were talking about how this book shows the neurological evolution of that. And it's cool that I don't think we're anywhere close to understanding what consciousness is or really, but progress is interesting.
Yeah. My business partner did like computational neuroscience and was like super into mapping that stuff out. It was really fun to just have him around to talk about that stuff. But yeah, it's quite a long way to go still. Cool. Okay. So yes, there's a few other books. I mean, a bit more famous, like The Alchemist. I think it's generally just accepted as like it's just a good book for like self-discovery and these things, and like The Little Prince, if you haven't read that, it's really cool. Mm-hmm. Have you read it?
I haven't, but I've been recommended it. Yeah. Well, so that's,
yeah, imagine that you're like a kid from a different planet and you're like, why are people concerned about this? What's going on? This is also silly. And you're just like, but it's written like it's like a bedtime story almost, and it's just like so introspectful and cool.
Yeah,
so super awesome book to read. And I can't remember the title. That's good. Like basically it's based on like when you do Vipassana, at the end of each day, there's like a 1 hour sitting period where you kind of have like a lecture, and it uses a lot of like the material from those lectures. And there's just lots of really good parables in it around like how to live and how to like be economist and stuff. And I can't remember the title at all, but yeah, I can send that to you. Cool. Any questions for me before I ask like the final few things?
Honestly, I still want to know like so much more about your Vipassana journey, even just right now, like you're working on the startup, and I'd love to know how you live, like why do you do what you do, and how did you get to where you are, not just through events but from a more mindset perspective.
That's a really big question. It's super easy to answer, and then let me just break that down for you in the next 30 seconds. Jesus. Well, how I live, I mean, I'd love to say I'd had such a good plan as you did. I did actually find a thing I wrote when I was 18. It was like a bunch of life goals, and I've actually hit most of them, surprisingly, which is quite cool. But I definitely would say I'm very like opportunistic, and if I don't have some kind of adventure, I go quite nuts. And I did have therapy for a while, and my therapist was like, you definitely just need to do some like crazy stuff, otherwise like bad things will happen. So that was nice to hear, because of it. Now I have an excuse to be like, mom, I'll get super depressed if I'm not like climbing some stupid mountain. So that's handy. But yeah, I guess I've always been sort of super ambitious, and I just like being in the deep end. So I think like that's why I would have loved like TKS or something, where you get put like on stage or something sort of outside of your comfort zone. So, I mean, I'm quite dyslexic, and I used to hate talking, and I was just really bad at it. But like, I started a podcast to get better at explaining my thoughts. And then like this year I did stand-up comedy, and like I did a TEDx speech, which is just like so far out of my comfort zone from a few years ago. But now like it didn't actually seem that bad to go and do it. So if I'm not failing quite often, like I'm just super bored. Like if I do something that I'm actually consistently good at, like I'm already bored of doing it, which is like a little bit dangerous, especially like I mean, I started skiing, like I took to it really quickly. And like, I kind of had this policy where like, if I don't fall over each half of a day, I just have to try doing something that I haven't done before, like a bigger jump or like just some tricks or something. And so I got good super fast, because I was always at the edge of my comfort zone. But then like I did end up like trying to do like a 360 backflip and nearly killed myself and end up in hospital and stuff. And at that point you're like, okay, so you kind of have to get to the right limits on these things, because it can be a bit silly. So I guess that's been a bit of a sort of philosophy of just always kind of having some adventure. I definitely work too hard. So it was kind of like talking to you about like chilling out a bit. I certainly find that hard myself, and that I just get excited by fixing problems, and like the world is not optimal. And like, I love helping people like develop themselves and become better humans, and like also solve their own problems and things. And so I love mentoring and helping others sort of do good. Also just like any forms of waste just pisses me off. So kind of like what I'm doing with the current business, it's just like, it's just a wasted opportunity where I'm listening to all this content, but I have no clue what other people are listening to, and I can't talk to them, when I would love to just have my friends who want to learn similar stuff to me be learning it at the same time, so we can discuss it, because it's just so stupid that we can't do that. But also there's so many other stupid things around like the environment and stuff that could not be happening, but it was just like I had like the expertise at that point, because of I've been in podcasting for a while, I've learned a lot more about tech startups, I've done some of these things, I had like the right network to do this. So it just made sense of like, if I felt like the optimal thing that I could do and be successful at, which is why I went for it, because then I can like go and do the other things, hypothetically speaking. In terms of my day-to-day, I'm still quite shit, to be honest. I've got much better as a leader in terms of, because I do like developing people and I'm a good listener. But what I'm not good at is I really like optionality. And so making decisions can be hard. And I struggle because I'm quite dyslexic in terms of things. So like putting all of my thoughts down in a clear, coherent manner for others is something that I really need to improve at, and what I'm kind of working on as a leader and a coach and things. And like, I'm quite introverted and like, I'm happy in my own space, and I can do like extroverted for a bit, but it's not natural. So I'm really lucky that my business partner's like the complete opposite of me. He's like the classic sort of rugby captain, team leader, sort of just sort of constantly making jokes and stuff. Whereas I'm like the sort of the opposite of that. I kind of sit by myself, like thinking deeply and being mysterious. But in terms of like leadership of like, if you think about, well, like I'm the same personality type as Elon Musk on like the thing, and like, or like, so in terms of like actually deep changing the world shit, it's like, I'm definitely more that type of leader, but I'm just trying to work on like the things that I'm weak at as such. But I definitely wish I was better at that, like day to day. And yeah, my time management, I think, could be better, I guess. And I feel like I'm quite slow at stuff. So yeah, it's confusing. I feel like you're probably not as slow as I am. You seem quite like, okay, I'm going to do this thing. And then you're just like doing it a million miles an hour. Whereas I'm going to do this thing, but like, I'll take like 5 years to sort of work my life out in the process.
Yeah. I think it really depends for me on the kind of state that I'm in. I kind of get you with the get bored of things that you become good at fast. Like I also have that sometimes, and I really like to explore, and I really like doing different things and learning different things and picking up different things. And then once I get a good intuitive sense of it and understanding of it, I'm like, all right, on to the next. Like I've check marked that one.
If I ever need to do it again, I can, but like obviously there's things I can't do, so I'll like learn to do those, because that's what I need. So
yeah, so it's really dependent. And like, yeah, the productivity levels do vary, and it, sometimes it varies by day, and there's other times where it varies by months, like months where I'm like so in the zone and I can work out anything. But there are other times where I'm like, I'm slower, I'm much slower.
Yeah. What do you think about exercise? Because I'm a bit obsessed with exercise.
I actually, the year and a half specifically, have been really weird. I had a concussion and I used to play sports just throughout school, and I played sports outside of school, and so that was like a really, really big thing for me and a huge part of like my life. I'd practice in the morning, and then I'd have practice at lunch, and I'd practice after school, and then I'd have a game in the evening. So that was kind of like my schedule for a very long time. And after my concussion, it actually became kind of difficult to continue exercising. Just almost everything I would do would just hurt my head in some way, and then I've had multiple concussions after that. So just like hitting my head on something, and I was hiking this summer and I literally just stepped on a wrong rock, and like my skull like shook, and I could feel my brain like kind of just shake, and I had an awkward jump. And so I don't exercise as much right now, and I just take care of my eating. So I'm on keto, which is helpful for the brain as well. Yeah. Not, we don't know that 100%, but it's being studied to treat and help out with Alzheimer's and a lot of other like neurological diseases and stuff. So I'm just doing that and taking care of my eating habits, but exercising is hard. I can't run. I get a headache within 5 minutes because I'm bouncing.
Sorry about that. Maybe you get sorted out soon. That would be nice. What about like relationships and stuff? What do you think about relationships and like how they impact your life? Have they been like beneficial? Do you find them like super motivating or easy, confusing?
Romantic or just any?
Romantic.
Okay. I did date in high school, and that was like for like 2 years or something, 2-3 years. And right now I just can't. I'm like, I hope no one takes offense to this that's listening, but I do find, especially now, there's kind of like a maturity gap, girls and guys. And then when you're kind of like in a space of ambition, or you're in a space of really wanting to get things done, and I feel like I know who I am. I feel very good with who I am and know who I am and what I want to do. And it's hard to find someone similar in age right now who's also kind of similar in mind space, I would say. So yeah, I haven't dated for a while, and I don't think I probably will. They work for some people. I don't know what to say about them being helpful or not. Like I just don't have enough experience to really comment on that, but yeah.
Yeah, so I'm just curious. But yeah, I certainly, I guess, kind of found similar things, because guys generally like date younger girls, and I just got like a bit bored. And I've had like a few that were like totally perfect, and there's no problems with them apart from like just long distance stuff. And it's just like, okay, well, it's kind of just more pain like not being near you for certain amounts of time, which is just like ending things was easier. But then I just stopped like trying, really, because it's like, well,
if I know what like, I want, and either when I meet someone it's right or it's not, like I'm not gonna like keep on dating people that like bore me. So I haven't really had like major relationships in like, the last few years as such. But I keep on meeting like older women that I'm like, oh, these people are great, but like also I'm too old. And then when you do find someone that like is really great, like it's super motivating when you're like, shit, your person is like on me on all these levels, and like you just kind of, it just makes you more of who you are because like they get you, and like you kind of want to do the things that are like the most impressive anyway. Mm-hmm. So it can be great.
I agree with you. Like you just kind of jam, and that's really good. I know I'm only 19, so this is a weird statement to say. Earlier this, 2 weeks ago, I think, sometimes my friends and I, what we do is, especially when we're apart for a few like weeks or months, is we will often ask each other to write out reflections and just share what we've been thinking. And so we'll have these like massive, like we'll spend like half an hour just typing out like, here are all my thoughts from the past like 6 months that are super important. And I was sharing a reflection with a friend. And I think one of my like parts was actually that I've kind of been thinking about relationships. And my standpoint right now is I actually just want to optimize for a situation where I am alone. And I know that sounds perhaps dreary, but what I mean is just like, that is like, I really do enjoy being by myself. And I want to like, just optimize for a situation where I'm not thinking about or really trying to find people, or if that's like something that's on my mind, only because I feel like I've entered an age where a lot of people have started asking me about dating and stuff like that. And I would rather optimize for just being alone. And then if I find someone that's the right fit, then that's awesome. But that's kind of like the standpoint that I'm at. And especially because I get so much fulfillment from my friendships. You can really, I think, develop friendships to a connection level where you would have with the partner almost, especially when people can so well support each other. So yeah, right now I'm like kind of content. And again, it's a dreary statement, but sounding, but I do want to optimize for being alone.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly don't cry myself to bed every night because I'm like alone, and I think it's quite fine. Any issues? Yeah, it's an interesting one though. Like I certainly do have like mild sort of worry that like if I end up reaching the end of my life not having shared it with someone, it seems wrong, because like there are definitely people like me that are like super into exploring all these things that I would definitely just have fun with the whole time. So it seems wrong, and like I kind of feel like, especially as I'm 30, I'm like kind of wasted my youth of like, oh, I used to look like much better, maybe I'll end up being old soon, and like, you know how I hate waste. So it's kind of confusing, but also I guess I don't get too concerned by these things. But yeah, that's fascinating to talk about, just because of, you've definitely got some like alternative opinions on that that you've shared, so thank you.
Thanks for listening to the show. If you have any questions, please reach out to me through the website at growthmindsetpodcast.com. I do love talking to listeners. You can support us on Patreon or by leaving a review on iTunes or telling a friend about us. But mostly, keep learning and keep growing.